Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and today we're ending Women's History Month on a high note, where we'll be chatting all about our favorite female-led movies and TV shows. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss China. How's it going, friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Before we jump into all things Women's History Month, you and I had a lot of fun watching the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. We had a whole Christmas night together. It was a whole Christmas night. Yeah, we had a whole film nerd celebration of all things Oscars. It was great.
We pigged out.
Oh, yeah. We had a whole spread. I usually always have a spread for Oscars, but it's usually just, you know, like a charcuterie board, some wine. We always order some pizza. I made sure to have Hot Cheetos because the Hot Cheetos song was nominated. The fact that Hot Cheetos is now an Oscar nominee, like I just want them to put it on the bag. You know what I mean? Could you put like on the bag, like Oscar nominated? Bit of a special edition Hot Cheetos bag leading up into the Oscars.
Missed opportunity for sure. It was so much fun. What were the top highlights for you?
Oh my God. Top highlights. The only thing I think of is I'm Just Ken. Like that literally was what we were waiting for the entire time. Like I love me some Oscars. I watch them religiously as everyone knows. But as soon as Ryan Gosling and I'm Just Ken was announced as a nominee, we were all waiting for that. And good on them for making it the last performance of the night. Cause I don't think anyone could have followed that at all. Them doing a tribute to Marilyn, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend performance.
Yes.
And then everyone comes out like Simu was there.
Perfect.
That was definitely a highlight. I also loved when they brought out former winners who were friends of the current nominees. You know, they were just like basically like talking up their friend. I love that. It's such a smart, beautiful idea. It makes it way more personal. Yo, my friend's nominated. Like I would do it. I would come up and be like, yo, friend, you're nominated. it would be such a cool thing to do. And I'm really glad they did that. It made it really personal. What about you? What are your top moments?
Oh, definitely. Like when they brought out all the presenters for Best Supporting Actress, I felt that was the most personable out of all the categories because they did it for Best Male Actor and Best Lead Actress. And it wasn't nearly as personable as it was with Best Supporting Actress. What Lupita Nyong'o did for Divine.
Ooh. Oh, not, I mean, I don't know if she's talked about it in an interview or whatever, but like the fact that now we all know she used her grandmother's glasses in this film to see the world through her grandmother's eyes. Like, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry right now.
John Cena did an awesome job. Was bold.
Oh my.
So bold.
So bold.
And I can't help but think you're John Cena. You get approached to present at the Oscars and like, but here's the catch. You got to be naked.
I feel like it might have took him like 5 seconds to be like, you know what? I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, he's like, I got a movie coming out on Prime. I need to promote the hell out of this.
Yes,
and then laugh
that is
about
very
this
true.
20 years later when I'm actually nominated for something. You know?
Honestly, though, could you imagine the day he gets nominated for something and like they're like, you've come so far from streaking at the Oscars to the Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll say it, huge missed opportunity with Chris Hemsworth presenting.
Yes.
He could have easily presented for Best Supporting Actor. That he had two chances to either represent Robert Downey Jr. or Mark Ruffalo. And he was like, nah, I'll take Best Animation.
He wasn't a former winner.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's like, okay, I guess, like, I, you guys are doing a bit. I get it. But like, this would have been the perfect Marvel bit to have.
It really would have.
Okay, so next year, when you're not, like, you're doing a new bit, next year, I'm going to need both Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo to make amazing projects and both be nominated once again. And then for bonus points, Chris Evans comes out and does something else. He also gets nominated. So it's like just a full Marvel.
Right.
Could you imagine? Once all of the Marvel men are nominated, you know who you have present? All the Marvel women.
Exactly.
Could you imagine ScarJo, Lupita, like everyone comes out and it's, our men are being nominated. Who else is going to present this award to them? Easy.
I just see, was it Paul Rudd sitting in the audience? Like, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Not me.
Not us.
Not us.
I could see that so hard. Or like everyone is nominated except for Paul Rudd. Right. So Paul Rudd comes out and like gives out the award. He's right. Like, who would have thought? Not me.
Not me. Mm-mm. Well, I'm ready for some tea. Are you ready for some tea?
Always.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. But in this case, we're celebrating Women's History Month, and we're talking about our favorite movies and TV shows that are female-led. So stay tuned, my friend, because we're about to spill some tea. That being said, at what age did you become inspired by women in TV and film?
You know, I thought about this question a lot because I know what your answer is going to be. And I was sitting here like, I don't think I was that young, to be honest.
Okay.
I was raised basically on the movies on TV channels, you know, like the Turner Classic Movies and ABC Channel or whatever, all that stuff, which, you know, back when we were growing up, the epic, I mean, these are epic movies, epic films that are The Gladiator and Troy and all these like very male dominated bro-ish kind of movies, not gonna lie. Like they're great, but they're bro-ish movies. It wasn't until I think I was in high school that I was really like watching TV shows. And this is probably one of my favorite TV characters of all time. Literally, my car is named after her. I'm a huge One Tree Hill fan since like day one. But Brooke Davis, since like her initial start on the show, which was, I think, like she wasn't supposed to be as big of a character as she ended up being, from what I hear. But as quirky as like she was in the first couple of seasons, she ends up being one of the most strongest characters in the entire series. Sophia Bush, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a human being, she is amazing and everything she does, like, charity wise and like with her podcast with the other rest of the girls and then her own podcast or whatever. So she's amazing. But Brooke Davis, I still to this day will rewatch certain parts of One Tree Hill that are very her driven, right? Yeah. So like her and Julian are like friggin' Endgame for me. Like they're just like perfection. So I'll watch it from the part where they meet and she's like, ah, I can't date you, to like their wedding and just cry the whole time. But yeah, so I think it wasn't until high school for me.
Okay.
Or like middle school, high school, that I kind of really locked into the understanding and defining this is a woman role versus like, oh, you're just a character in a movie. You know what I mean? What about you?
I can remember being 5 or 6 and being super inspired by the Pink Power Ranger. And she was the epitome of greatness. Amy Jo Johnson. I just remember really pitching my parents on this name for my soon to be sister. And obviously having no say.
She could totally be an Amy.
Right? Like, I think she could.
She looks like she could be an Amy. Okay.
First of all, they wouldn't tell me the gender of my soon to be sibling. And I was like, I'm just throwing it out there. It will be a girl and we should really go with Amy. And I'm just telling her pink is going to be her color, guys. But I just remember anytime Amy Jo Johnson was like, pterodactyl,
pterodactyl.
Yeah. And I would, you know, we'd be in the grocery store and mom's like, can you not? And I was like, oh, and now I look at it and I was like, what was I doing? Like the oops, I did it again.
Oh my God, my yes. Heart.
It's the same thing.
That's literally right? The same move. Okay, now I can't unsee that.
Brittany was inspired by the Power Rangers. Let's just put it that way. Next serious question. Top 3 female-led movies or TV shows that you recommend to your girlfriends.
Okay, you're going to go first because I have a list. And if I want to cross off something off my list because I don't know what you have.
Okay.
You're like, pull the sleeves up. Yep. Here we go.
Here we go. We're going to stretch. All right.
You're like, get your pens and papers out because these are recommendations that you're going to want.
Right.
And this is the movie marathon for girls' night.
Because we do cover a lot of book to screen adaptations, Love me some Outlander. Historical fiction at its finest. Diana Gabaldon, killing the game.
How many seasons is this show?
7.
Okay, I just got off your ACOTAR recommendation. I know. And it took me months. So,
but there's a show, so you can watch it casually. If you're not hooked after the first episode, though, that's my disclaimer. If you're not the first episode, you can call me crazy, and I won't take offense to it.
Okay, I'll give it one episode.
All right, next in line, Sex and the City.
I knew you were going to pick that. Like, it's literally on my list, but I was like, I'm just going to it was on my list. And I was like, I'm just going to delete this because I'm 1000% positive she's going to pick that.
I didn't start watching it till I was 18. And I would catch reruns on TBS when cable was a thing for the youths out there. And I vicariously lived through Carrie Bradshaw and Charlotte so much. Loved all the female friendships on the show and wrote at least 3 papers.
Oh, really?
Revolving around the show. Yeah, in college. My third and final choice that I will tell every girlfriend to watch is Bridesmaids.
You know, I use that movie to explain my name to people. I do. Before that movie, no one understood. Like, I was like, oh yeah, my name is China. And they're like, okay, like, the wrestler, like the country or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm named after the singer. And they're like, what singer? And I was like, China Phillips, like the Wilson Phillips band. And they're like, we don't know who that is. And I was like, have you seen Bridesmaids? The song at the end. And everyone's like, oh, that's a good song. I'm like, thank you, Bridesmaids, for coming out and using that song, because now I can explain my name. But yeah, no, that movie is hilarious.
So we got Outlander, Sex and the City, and Bridesmaids. What are your top 3?
When I talked about like the movies that we used to watch on the Turner Classic Channel and like ABC Channel or whatever, on cable TV for the youth out there, there was this movie called Now and Then. It's such a good movie, and they used to show it all the time. I mean, cast alone, right? Rosie O'Donnell is one of the older women in that movie.
Roberta,
yeah, but Roberta's also played by Christina Ricci, is the young version of Rosie O'Donnell, which also doesn't really necessarily make sense, but sure. Also, Demi Moore is in it. Rita Wilson is in it.
Yeah,
like, it's so good. And it does definitely, like, if you're talking about female friendship movies, I go to that one all the time. It's a movie, and it's definitely like a coming of age movie, which, I mean, if you think around that time period when that movie had come out, there's a lot of coming of age stories, but they're all boy driven. And this is like a true teenage girl, you know, first crushes, first, you know, learning about, different stuff happening in their families. It's so good. Like, highly recommend. So good. I was also talking to my sister about this topic before we came on, and we both, like, at the same time, were like, yeah, like the yeah sisterhood. So good. So sad. So good. Like, literally so sad, but also so good. Then you got to think like Steel Magnolia, like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, like those kind of women together living life movies, Waiting to Excel. Like, if that is not what me and my girls are when we are older, I'm going to be so disappointed in us.
All right. Next serious question, because again, we do cover a lot of book to screen adaptations. What are your 2 favorite female led books?
Okay. So we've talked about this on this podcast that I'm a memoir reader for the most part. I literally went to like write down all the different female memoirs that I've read. I didn't realize how long this list was.
Okay.
Until I wrote it out. And I was just like, oh, is this like my thing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, am I realizing now that this is kind of my thing that I didn't put together? Like, I've read both Gabrielle Union's memoirs. I've read my first Michelle Williams memoir, Carrie Fisher, Lauren Graham, Viola Davis, Constance Wu, Jeanette McCurdy. I'm currently reading Britney Spears' memoir. Like, I think this is my thing, and I didn't realize it until this moment. But if I had to pick my favorite out of those memoirs, it would be Gabrielle Union's, which so good. Both of them, actually. The first one was like very eye-opening because I didn't know a lot about her, to be honest. And then the second one, I think like the first 2 chapters, which is about like her and Dwayne Wade having their daughter, I cried like the entire time. And then I also loved, and I was very surprised at this because I'm not necessarily the biggest like fan of hers. I don't really watch much of stuff from hers, but Constance Wu, who I only know from Crazy Rich Asians. Like, I was very surprised on how much I related to a lot of stuff in that book, and also how much I want to just protect her at all costs. What are yours?
I'm going to go with my two faves, which is ACOTAR and Outlander. So for those of you who don't know, ACOTAR stands for A Court of Thorns and Roses, and Outlander, which, side note, both are written by women. So we've got Sarah J. Maas and Diana Gabaldon. And those two book series, it was just the healthiest distraction I've had in quite some time, and can't wait for Festival of Books.
Which is also an event we'll be going to in like April. We're jam-packed for April.
But it's these two series which makes me excited for Festival of Books to find new fandoms and so forth.
Normally I go to like all the true crime memoir panels because I go with another friend who's also into that stuff. So last year I went with a different friend. I was like, okay, we'll just do whatever you want to do because it's your first time. And she took me to all of the romance and fantasy and like smut book panels. And after that, I was like, okay, well, I need to start buying some new books. And right. Then you were like, I need you to get you on ACOTAR. And I spent like, we're talking like 6 months. I went through all of the ACOTAR books on Audible, which was an experience. If you have not read ACOTAR, I definitely highly recommend doing the graphic audio on Audible because it's interesting to say the very least. But yeah, no, they're amazing. And it definitely is a great women empowerment story, especially the last one with Silver Flame and like the Valkyrie women. It's very empowering.
I will say this. The ACOTAR series is just the tip of the iceberg. Sarah J. Maas has currently 15 books that all connect to each other.
Damn, racketing, girl.
I know. She's killing the game.
And like you see them everywhere. Like everywhere I go, I see these books on every flight that I work. I see it. There's at least one or two people reading some kind of Sarah J. Maas book.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm going to talk to you about it because you know, you know. You know what I mean?
And rumor has it, some photos have been released too, that Margot Robbie's production company is in talks to pick this up. And with what she did with Barbie, I'm like, please, dear Lord, baby Jesus, make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, didn't I send you the thing about Claire Holtz?
Yeah.
Posting and then like talking about it being Rosanne. Like she's like, oh, just hanging out with my like fictional boyfriend. Like, it's like, are you hinting? Are you also going to be in the part of this project?
Should we have a future more?
Oh, she would be a good more. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, just come on, Claire.
Just putting that there. Who's in charge of this? We have suggestions.
All right. Favorite sister and or sisterhood based movies or TV shows?
The one movie I did not, it's on my list, but I didn't talk about. Because I said so, one, I love me some Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton is my cinematic universe. I will see everything this woman does. I don't know why, but I love her so much. Diane Keaton, Mandy Moore, Lauren Graham is in it. So good. But it's like a bunch of sisters and the mom's like way too involved. It just makes me want to wear polka dots. Like it's just, it's so.
Polka dots were such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
When that movie came out.
Okay, speaking of the Oscars, when Jennifer Lawrence came out in the polka dot, that was my whole thought. I was like, did she watch this movie?
Are we bringing back 2007?
Yes, literally. So Because I Said So was a great female sisterhood movie. I mean, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, freaking classic.
Staple.
Not only like classic movie, but like, did you see when America Ferrera was nominated for the Oscar and all of them jumped on a call together?
Yes.
The fact that you guys also hang out.
My heart.
Yeah, I'm like, does the pants still fit though? Like, do you guys, who has it?
Right.
Who has the pants?
Who has the pants right now?
But that's mine. Sisterhood movie. Yours?
Practical Magic.
Oh my God. Yo. I didn't even think about that. If you have not seen Practical Magic and that is not on your Halloween list, Halloween season, spooky season list, you're missing out.
I'm so frustrated that Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman haven't partnered up on more projects together because they are Practical Magic together on screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the ants, like being raised by those ants. Right. So I'm an ant now. So I will be that ant. I'm the Practical Magic ant. I'm decided.
You're an October baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't do scary movies, but I will definitely do some spooky season stuff.
Who's your favorite female-led dynamic duo?
Mine's going to have to be my Grace and Frankie girls, my Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. I think they're so hilarious separately and so hilarious together. The dynamic is so great. Yours?
Thelma and Louise.
Oh, classic.
I feel like they set a bar for badass women who just take no shit.
Absolutely.
And last but not least, most empowering female-led film.
If you know me, then everyone knows the answer to this. It is Under the Tuscan Sun, because if that movie is not me, I've told people multiple times, like, if my life decides to fall apart and destroy itself from the inner workings, I'm going to leave, buy a house in Italy, and never look back. that is my goal in life. And I've said this probably since I saw this movie, like, forever ago. Why not? Yours?
I'm going to go with Hidden Figures.
Ooh, yes. Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I will never be good at math, but to see these three dominate in that department to save astronauts in space. And it's a true story.
True story. That part. Like, when you talk about Women's History Month, watch Hidden Figures. Like, that is a part of women's history that everyone needs to know. Like, they were vital to this project. Like, they were so needed, but also the way they were treated was not great given the time frame that this happened, but very important part of history.
And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast. We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: any of the books or movies that we covered in today's episode, ABC Productions, or the Oscars. We're just really big fans who love celebrating Women's History Month.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.